When I saw those extraordinary crowds grieving over Yasser Arafat's coffin in Ramallah, I thought about a half a dozen young men I interviewed 18 years ago on the West Bank, who then took my audio tapes and locked me in a room overnight. Their school, Birzeit University, had been shut down by Israeli officials for being a staging ground for terrorist attacks. The young men said they had to lock me up because they could tell I was Jewish. All reporters presumably were, and that I would give my audio tapes to the Israelis. I said I was a reporter and wouldn't give my tapes to anyone, but besides, every complaint they had about being rousted and roughed up by Israeli soldiers was something Israelis heard on their own news every night. By dawn, they'd found someone to erase my tapes, although not very effectively, and they threw open the door. They tried to embrace me and offered coffee. For maybe the only time in my life, I ducked an embrace and declined coffee. They said they would walk me back to my hotel because the neighborhood was dangerous. I said only they were dangerous. When we walked past a YMCA, they asked me to join them for coffee so we could part as friends. I told them we were not friends, but I could use a cup of coffee. I also reminded myself that a reporter shouldn't turn down almost any chance to hear someone's story. The young men told me how they hated the United States, but they would like to live in Brooklyn, Chicago, or Las Vegas. They hated President Reagan, but thought he was a strong leader, not a weak weasel like King Hussein of Jordan. They said they loved Yasser Arafat, who was cunning, but also corrupt and cruel. They hated Israelis, but said they were tough people who had built a homeland out of sand, as they hoped to. All these young men had grown up under Israeli rule, getting frisked by Israeli soldiers at checkpoints, and watching Israeli television, following Israeli news. When I asked what kind of future they wanted for an independent Palestine, none of them seemed to see a model in Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, or Saudi Arabia. They wanted a country with a free and aggressive press, political parties, rock music, regular elections, pizza parlors, and Chinese takeout. Someplace, it struck me, that resembled the Israel that occupied their land and their thoughts. They scrawled names and numbers on a napkin of relatives in Detroit, Toronto, or New Jersey. Within a few weeks, I'd called every one, and when someone asked, "How did you meet my cousin?" I just answered, a long story. The young men who kept me behind a door might have teenage sons and daughters now. I wonder, I even suppose, that they want to open a new door for their children into rich and peaceful lives.